So, good morning. You know, what God has shown me over the past few years, actually, and how He has groomed me in such a way to use me as a tool, as a vessel for this church. I'm going to share a lot of my testimony over the past few years. Can you hear me, Dill? All right. A lot of my testimony over the past few years. Also, really iterate a tool that, you know, by coincidence, by God, shared through Holly, on how I was able to use it and actually perform prayer properly. Everybody that knows me knows over the years I struggled with prayer, how to pray. You know, I could think a lot of stuff in my head, but at the same time, it just wouldn't come out. One day we were in worship rehearsal, and Holly said, "Come on, Ken, I know you have something," and nothing would come out. With that, she turned around and said, "Okay, take a song. Take a praise and worship song and just pray it." With that, I can say that every single praise and worship song stems from the root of Scripture. You go into Scripture, you go in the Bible and you look, and every single song that we ever sing about in some way, shape, form, or fashion falls back in line with Scripture. So it's perfect. One of the songs, as I was going through doing it, in the beginning when she first told me to do it, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, this is stupid. It's a stupid idea. Why am I going to do this? And then I found myself actually sitting there and doing it. You know, you go through and you just, okay, God, I'm here. And you take a random praise and worship song. The one song that deeply influenced me and drew me closer to God was the last song we did, which is "I Surrender, Here I Am." Basically, you just, when you're talking to God, the most simplest way and form that I've found to utter God's words and actually can and start a conversation with the Lord is just to go and take a song and reiterate, "Here I am." And just as Holly did earlier, she dropped to her knees. We dropped to our knees. "Here I am, God. I surrender all. I'm submitting my life to you, God. I give you my whole heart, Father God. Do your will." You know, when you're going through the song, don't sing the song. Actually talk the song to God. "Father God, you can find me here. Lord, draw me near. I'm desperate for you. I'm on my knees, God. I'm desperate for you. Drench my soul as mercy and grace unfold. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your compassion, Father God. Father God, I stretch my arms wide. I'm yours, Father God. I am completely submitting my life to you. I surrender all. It's all yours, God." And then you could go in and, you know, break it down even more and actually say the bridge. Start shouting the bridge. "Like a rushing wind, Jesus breathe within." And you could take that and that right there, this song right there, you are submitting your life to God. You're telling Him He has all power and authority over you. And just imagine what manifests and manifold as God actually starts to pour in. That deeper, impactful relationship with you and Christ is now stronger than it's ever been. And that encounter can go on for days. It can go on for weeks. It can go on for months. And you You're absolutely right. It's your life. It's your way of being. I've had instances where going through this and doing just this off of this specific song, I Surrender, where in my spirit, I am constantly talking to God. As days go by, I am in the spirit and I am getting done all the things that I set out to do. You know how difficult it is to go, okay, God, life happens. You got to do A, B, C, D, and E. And you only have a 24-hour time frame to do it. And unfortunately, you have, not unfortunate, because God provides and you do need to work in order to live life. But when you have a job that you work 10 to 12-hour days, and one of the biggest things that you have to do is all the side stuff that happens, you have to figure out, not even you have to figure out, you have to know that if you put your focal point on God, that those 10-hour, 12-hour days, if you're in the Lord in the Spirit, God is automatically doing everything you set out in that 24-hour time span and some. So is, you know, do that, take that time. You know, it was a tool for me that was given by Holly. It worked. It drew me into a better relationship with the Lord. And I use it to this day. A lot of my testimony today comes through Matthew 6:33. Now everybody here knows this scripture. This scripture is the core of this church. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I've learned over the years that as long as you focus on God, it is so much easier to get through life. And a lot of my testimony shows that. I'm going to share a little bit now. I was meeting with Senior Elder Gary Stiles. And, you know, we were going through ministries. I'm head of maintenance team. So for me, it was a lot of gleaning and learning from him. We were chewing the fat. We started to get a little bit into kingdom-minded, prophetically. And due to unfortunate circumstances of a few illnesses that happened, he had to go out on sabbatical. While he went out on sabbatical, there was a situation at my job. I was given, God had told me that I'm going to get promoted in my current job. And then it just so happened that there was an opportunity to do so. And that opportunity rose and I jumped. I stopped listening to what God was saying because God had already said, this is my job. This is mine for the taking. So I went and I ran with it. But there was one key thing here, and I'll get back to that in a second. I sat there, and I took advantage of it, and I ran with it, and I said to my boss at the time, I'm here, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to move up in the company. And he said, okay, and he took complete advantage of that. Complete advantage. He saw how much passion I had and how much I actually wanted to move up in the company. And he turned around and he put so much added stuff on my plate that I've never even done. I had never learned some of the stuff I was doing. I was just thrown to the wolves. Now, I don't know if it was intentional on his part or not, but out of this, I've learned that you have to keep your focus on God. God has to be the forefront of everything. As I was going through and as that happened, it got to a point in time where it became too much stress for me, and that job was taken away. Now, granted, it was never an actual title. There was never really a promotion involved. It was just simply, okay, yeah, we're going to put you here and look at it as a, you're on an interview every day. Well, eventually after 10 and a half months and you put your hand out asking for more money and asking for the actual title, you get burnt out. And before I knew it, it was done. My only issue was I took my focus off of where it actually needed to be. If I'd have kept my focus on God and said to God, okay, God, when? Is this my opportunity? God would have said no. God would have said, you could still learn a few things, but don't go running. I didn't listen. I took my focus off. And of course, we're all human. It happens. But if I'd have actually kept my focus on God, it would have been a different situation. It shattered my pride. Now, God broke down my pride. Luckily, through grace, I still have this job. God broke my pride down in such a way and kind of said, okay, we're going to put you over here in this corner to get away from it all. He humbled me. When that happened, I was in a situation, yeah, granted, we're human. I was bitter. I was angry. I was hurt. It took a lot to get over, but you know what? Through the grace of God, I was able to. I was able to. I came in. I shared. I talked to who I needed to talk to. I shook my fist at God a lot. I did not like the situation, but you know what? In that, I learned a lot, and God brought me down to my knees again and told me this time, go through, you will listen, and in due time, you will get what I had promised you. After all that happened, started meeting with senior elder Gary Stiles again. And, you know, we were sitting down at Peter's Diner every Tuesday, grabbing a bite to eat every night, chewing the fat, again, talking more ministry, getting a little more involved in what we originally started in the first place. He gave me a lot of scripture to study, a lot on prophetic and all that. Through grace, through humility of my own and a lot of focusing on God and how God works, he sent me to Fayetteville, Arkansas for a month. Now, it was originally planned to be 2 weeks. But while I was down there, there was such a dire need that I was there a couple more weeks longer. It was a humbling experience, to say the least. I could go on. Yes, I was dog tired. I was working 10, 12 hour days there and working Saturdays. My first week there was okay. I was thankful for the opportunity and I set out to not just clear my name and job, but also because there's, you know, even though all that stuff happened, there were still people in the job, upper management, that still looked at that situation and thought I was still angry, thought I was still bitter, and they didn't want me to go. But an opportunity came, and the person that actually sent me told them that this will be good for him, this will be good for the company, and sure enough, it was. I got down there, I was thankful for the opportunity. I'm going to fast forward a little bit. And then I'll come back. While I was down there, when I came back, I was told with a tremendous report, the biggest managerial person in my job came to me the very day I came and stepped foot back in my facility and told me that he got a report from Fayetteville of how tremendous and exceptional my job was, how great I was, how humble I was, and how professional I was while I was down there. When my first week, I'm back up now. My first week when I was down there, I worked, I got everything taken care of. Saturday when I was done work, I sat there and went, okay, I'm off Sunday. What am I going to do? I don't want to just sit down here. I'm in Fayetteville, Arkansas. I've never been here a day in my life. What am I going to do? What can I go see? Where am I going to go? First thing that came to mind was, all right, what church am I going to find? What church am I going to go pay a visit to? And I went and I was looking around and I was asking around and nobody could really tell me anything. You know, they would recommend church here or there. But come Sunday morning, I felt so depressed, so homesick. I was in tears when I woke up because I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know where I was going to go. But I know I wanted God in my presence that day. And I'm sitting there and I put praise and worship on and I'm praying to God. And one of our members here at this church goes on Facebook and does a live feed. And as they do a live feed, I see familiar faces. I see my church family. That was rejoicing, that uplifted how I was feeling. The song that was being played, I never even heard before. It's an older song. It's Surrounded. This is how I fight my battles. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to the song and I can hear my church family singing the song. And I see Holly drop to the floor and go, and she's hammering it. Hammering it. This is how I fight my battles. For the next 3 weeks while I was down there, in the morning when I got up, I played that song. I was on my knees. When I got home, when I got back to the lonely hotel room, I was back on my knees. I was back hammering that song. That was how I fought through and got through that professionally. Granted, I've talked to numerous people while I was down there. I talked to my wife and kids every day. But it still wasn't enough. I was homesick. You know, and we all get that way. It's natural. But that helped me to get through. That helped me to push through. And like I said, when I came back, the biggest managerial person in the building came up to me, shook my hand, thanked me, and actually showed me a bit of the email of Fayetteville praising how well I did. And all I could do was give glory to God because I wouldn't have been able to do it without him. I wouldn't have been able to push through and actually succeed at the goal at hand. And I gave all the credit to God. God got all the glory. When I came back, obviously, when I came back, it was March 16th of this year. That's pretty much when COVID hit. Everything happened. The church shut down to an extent. I mean, we were kind of doing like a hybrid thing on the internet. My job went from working 10, 12-hour days down to 8. So I was able, God allowed and made a way that I was able to get a little bit of R&R and actually spend time with my family because I was only working 8-hour days. So I would come home and I had opportunity to spend with my wife and kids. I had opportunity to sit there and really spend time with God and not feel rushed. Granted, we all feel rushed at times, but one of the biggest things, and I can't iterate this enough, is your time with God should be the first and most important thing you do every day, all day long. Jeremiah 29:13. Seeking God with your whole heart, and you will find him, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. God has obviously put me in a season with breaking me down and molding me, showing me how distracted I could be with not just certain things there, but with the way life happens. You sometimes, and again, I gave God the free will. I surrendered my life to God. So I allow God to sit there and go, hey, Ken, grabs my chin and says, focus, I'm over here. I don't know how many times I'm sitting there and I'm going, okay, God, I'm here. Like, we all do it. We all go through it. It happens. It's understandable. But one of the biggest things, and I love the fact that God is so graceful. God shows a lot of mercy. Because you could sit there and you could go through that and do that, and it's just like, okay, God, thank you. I repent, Father God, I'm here. You have my attention. There's a lot going on right now, and with that, God is putting me through a fire lately, and not a bad fire. I'm not going, and I'm, you know, it's a fire in such a way that is molding me, getting the imperfections out so that God can truly call me for the kingdom and use me how he wants to use me. Prime example of how we get distracted. Kids, family, work, finances. Like, those are the basics. You know, it is real easy to get distracted by what a kid is doing or your 9-to-5 job, or in my case, a 12-hour day. COVID happens. Other illnesses are taking place. Politics. Politics can play such a huge impact, and we can see how it is hindering us from actually looking to God and getting the answers from him. Too many people right now are sitting here worried about Trump or Biden and not focused on what they actually need to be focused on, and that is Christ Almighty himself. People get distracted by other people, by places, vehicle situations, something in the past, sports. You know, there's always that one Cowboy fan that talks about the 90s. Yes. I'm going to leave that one alone. 1 Corinthians 14:22-33 is very lengthy, is very wordy, but there's a lot of true meaning for the church behind this that really the church needs to see. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are all out of your mind? But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convicted by all. He is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in tongues, let there be two or at least most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. One of the biggest things that I have seen lately that the church does is we come in, and I'm a victim to this. Up until recently, I come in every Sunday and I just have so much garbage in me that I come in and we all do it. We just dump our garbage in on Sunday and we miss most, if not all, of praise and worship. And praise and worship, we should be working through our garbage Monday through Saturday with God personally. And I can attest, because I've called out every single leader in this church and most churches that I've seen, if you call out and if you ask for help Monday through Saturday, any one of those leaders will open up their schedule to make sure you get the help and the guidance that you need. So as believers, we need to stop coming in here on Sunday and dumping our garbage and then going back out there with the same garbage or picking up new garbage and coming back the following week and dumping it again. Get rid of it Monday through Saturday so that when you come in here on Sunday morning to praise and worship God, you can come in and you can praise and worship God as truly as you should. You should be able to come in here and shout and rejoice and thank God for what He is doing. And in the process of doing that, when an unbeliever or an uninformed walks through this door, us as believers will know exactly what to do and how to do it so that when the unbeliever comes in, they get exactly what they're supposed to get. They see exactly what they're supposed to see. I'm going to wrap up now with the challenge. Now, Pastor Gomez throws a challenge out, throws the gauntlet out every week. And I am not going to put a stop to that. I am not going to stop that. I'm going to keep this going. The challenge that I have is quite simply this. The tool that Holly presented to me that I thought was so stupid is a perfect example and a perfect way if you do not know how to talk to God, or if you just don't have the words, or quite simply this, I don't know this song. I want to learn this song. You pray this song, you don't sing it, you speak it to God. You speak it over you, and you allow God to manifest in that. It's twofold. One, you learn the song. The song becomes deeper and more personal to you so that now when you're up here and it's praise and worship time and the song comes on, boom, you sing it. You're doing it. You're doing the actions. It is now convicting you to do so. And two, it will bring that deeper relationship with God. That more personal, intimate relationship that God so wants from us. That's it.